Just read a psalm and okay, shall we turn to Psalms chapter 15? It's a psalm of David, Psalms 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell on your holy hill, he who walks with integrity, works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, and he swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Let's pray for today's session. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you're our God. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, whom you've left with us to glorify Jesus, to remind us of the things you taught us. We thank you that you're our comforter and the one who is alongside us. We pray, Lord, that at this chapel service, as we study your word, that you challenge our hearts, that it may be conformed to the image of Christ in holiness and purity in service. That as we read today in the Psalms, that we would speak truth in our hearts. And I pray today's portion would challenge us for that. Not just to speak truth externally, but deep down in our hearts. Make us men of deep integrity, deep honesty, deep consecration. And men who just don't admit their failure, but who act on it and who change their lives. Help us, Lord, to this end. Help Vijay as he speaks. Grant us all understanding, alertness, and a sound mind. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, brothers. It's a great time to study the Word of God. We are going through a series of 2 Timothy. We have finished last time, chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Today we are going to look at chapter 2, verse 16 to 19, which is also slightly connected to previous verses. We learned that previous chapter, that we should preach the word of God, word of truth, accurately, reminding the congregation, warn the congregation against disputing the word. Those who contradict, those who dispute, we need to warn the congregation. Now, Timothy as a minister should do one more thing, which is also most important thing. And Paul answers why he should do it in this passage. That is in verse 16 to 19. You see, chapter 2, verse 16 to 19. We read. Paul said to Timothy like this, "But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. And they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness." You see this passage, Paul is commanding Timothy, avoid worldly empty chatter. If you remember in your life, if doctor said something you should avoid because of your health issues, you will avoid, right? Will you avoid or not? You know, many cases, right? If people are having BP or sugar doctor says you should avoid this kind of food, you will avoid, right? People will avoid. That is physical life, but it is spiritual life. As a ministers, we must avoid something which is dangerous for us, which is also danger for the church, church spiritual life. Here he is saying, look at verse 16. He says, but avoid worldly and empty chatter. The word avoid in Greek means to go around as to avoid, as to reject. Look at Acts chapter 25, verse 7, to understand the word meaning avoid. Acts chapter 25, Acts 25, verse 7. To understand this word meaning in deep, it says, after Paul arrived, the Jews who have come down from Jerusalem stood around him. Did you see that word? Stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him, which they could not prove. The same word used here, stood around. It has the idea of rejection of something. Avoiding means rejection, strongly rejecting the things which is harmful. For in this case, the Jewish people, they thought Paul is doing something wrong, so they rejected his messages himself. So in that same way, here avoiding means rejecting something. But here the word avoid, the verb avoid is imperative. It is a command. Paul is saying that Timothy should begin to avoid worldly and empty chatter. And he must avoid, reject them again and again, again and again. That is the idea. The imperative means present tense is indicating that he must begin to avoid, at the same time, again and again he needs to avoid. That is the idea. Paul is commanding to Timothy. He should not practice. He should stop this kind of nonsense which is going around himself, which is going around the churches. If you see the meaning of the worldly and empty chatter means a talk that has no value, foolish discussion, babble, a destructive empty talk. It's like foolish discussion. The worldly means unholy, godless, we can say pointless, worthless. So we can conclude this as this. A minister should avoid unholy, godless chatter. This is a profane chatter, right? Profane chatter that is filled with empty Christian content, empty Christian content. This is worthless or silly discussions that show no reverence for God. Timothy should avoid, should reject these kind of speeches. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 20 says, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter, and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. When false teachers, when they speak, it looks like there is a sense in it, like there is a wisdom in it, there is a knowledge in it. But Paul is saying that falsely called knowledge. But this speech is always disrespect God. It is talking about irreverent speech against God. What is the unholy and ungodly speech discussion that shows no reverence for God? If you see, the best example is given in our passage. The resurrection has already taken place. That is also one of the foolish discussion. The discussions which is against God. Some may say there is no resurrection. Some may say that rapture has already taken place. Some false teachers, they are going around, they are going to church to church, telling these kind of things. Some people may say, there is no rapture. There is no virgin birth. Some may say that the scripture is not sufficient. We need special revelation for practical things. There are many things is going on, brothers. See, for spiritual things, you can know from the Bible. If you want to marry somebody else, where is in the Bible whom we should marry? So you need to eat and sleep nicely. God will send some revelation. There are some pastors, they will say, you need to marry. If God says to me, then I will tell whom you should marry. Telling these all kind of things, disrespecting the scripture. Some may say that death of Jesus Christ is not sufficient for salvation. But we must add our works for it. There are many foolish discussions. There are many profane chatter that Paul is commanding. Avoid these kind of speeches. Avoid these kind of, reject these kind of teachings. Some may say there is no God also, right? There is no God. Titus chapter 3, verse 9 says, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. So theme of this passage, you can say, Paul said already, verse 16, avoiding profane chatter as ministers. Avoiding profane chatter as a minister. That is our theme of this passage. Three reasons why a minister must avoid profane chatter. Three reasons. First reason why a minister must avoid profane chatter is it leads to further ungodliness. It leads to further ungodliness. Look at verse 16 part B. 16 part B. It says, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Here Paul is saying that the basis or ground of action of avoiding unholy, ungodly, profane chatting is this. For this reason, because it will lead to further ungodliness, you should avoid. That is the first reason. That is, over a period of time, something will happen. That is, it will lead to further ungodliness. Leads to further in Greek is to move forward to an improved state, progress, advance, make further progress, go on from bad to worse, bad to worse. They who talk profane chatter will greatly increase progress in ungodliness. Bad to worse. They move forward to an improved state of ungodliness. They have ungodliness. When they are speaking against God, when they are speaking, when they are doing actions, then they are progressing in ungodliness more and more. But Paul is saying, this will happen soon. Timothy, be careful. It will happen. It is sure. This will come to pass. It will take place in future over a period of time if you are allowing these kind of speeches in churches. If you are speaking these kind of things, it will lead your congregation, it will lead you more and more in ungodliness. If you understand the meaning of ungodliness in Greek, is to understand vertically as a lack of reverence for God. Lack of reverence for God. They are displayed in disrespectful words and deeds. And ungodliness means having lack of reverence to God. If you don't have the reverence for God, when you are speaking against God, you will disrespect God more and more in your words and also in your actions. That's what Paul is saying. Jude chapter 1 verse 18 says, they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodliness. Did you see that? The more mockers, if you are criticizing God, If you are speaking falsehood from the scripture, you are disrespecting God more and more, more and more. Satan or your heart may say, if you say something bad about God, once in okay, but if you speak anything against God, it will lead you to speak against God more and more, to do actions against God more and more. It leads to further ungodliness. I want to give example, specific example. Some people say there is no God, right? There is no God, some people say. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. If you look at this, you will understand practically how you will grow in ungodliness more and more if you speak profane chatter. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. 18 says like this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Verse 21 says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God and give thanks, but they became in their speculations, their foolish heart was darkened. They professing to be wise, they became fools and they exchanged the glory of incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and traveling creatures. See, they became fools because everything about God is evident to them, but they did not believe in true God. So their profane chatter is, there is no God. So after that, what happened? They are worshipping creation. See, one more sin came. They are doing one more sin. Not the creator, they are worshipping creation. They became fools. Thirdly, they became homosexuals. If you see, verse 26, 27. Look at 26, 27. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also men with men committing indecent acts. They are doing homosexual. See, they did one action. That is, they said there is no God. But see, they are growing more and more in ungodliness. Not only that, they committed all kinds of sin. Look at 29 to 31. Romans chapter 1, 29 to 31. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Have you seen? Exactly, Paul is saying to Timothy, if you are not avoiding profane chatter, worldly and empty chatter, it will lead to further ungodliness. Further ungodliness. This warning us, right? We should not take easily by speaking things which is against God. If you speak against God anything like this, then we will do more ungodly things. But here Paul is saying to avoid, he's commanding, you do it again and again, avoid these kind of things. But there is a punishment for this if you are doing ungodly things. Jude chapter 1 verse 15, it says, to execute judgment upon all, to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jesus Christ is going to judge those who are doing ungodly deeds, who are speaking ungodly speech. Brothers, if you are teaching or listening to ungodly things, then you grow away from God. It will lead you more and more to ungodliness. You need to avoid You need to avoid. That is the first reason. Second reason why a minister must avoid profane chatter is it is a characteristic of false teachers. It is a characteristic of false teachers. Look at verse 17 to 18. It says their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus, Philetus, the men who have gone astray from the truth. See, it is a characteristic of false teachers. That's why we must avoid. As a true minister, we should not do it because it is a characteristic of false teachers. Here, three spiritual dangers of their teachings we can see. First spiritual danger of their teaching is their teaching spread like an infection. Their teaching spread like an infection. Look at verse 17. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Here Paul is saying that their talk will spread like gangrene. This will come to pass. This will happen. Talk literally means word, a statement, a message. Brothers, but here it refers the content of godless chatter. Their message, their teaching will spread like gangrene. There is assurance that if a man of God does not avoid ungodly chatter, not only this will lead to more and more ungodliness, but also their messages or teachings will spread like an infection to other people. Gangrene can also refer to a cancer, a disease that spread rapidly in the body, then destroy the whole body. It refers to the open sore spreads and eats away healthy parts of the body. One day I went to a hospital. My friend was admitted in hospital. Then I have seen one old man. Almost he lost his one leg. I can see up to here, up to knee, he does not have a leg. Because of infection has eaten. The nurse has come. She is doing all kind of medicine, applying medicine, healing that one. See, they're teaching like infection, like cancer, eats everybody, parts of the body, right? Later, that person will die. See how Paul is comparing the false teaching with infection. Deadly disease. Brothers, the wrong and unhealthy doctrines or teachings spread among people destroy the spiritual life of a person who listens and who believes in it. It is very dangerous. Brothers, to stop the infection of the body, infection in the body, you go to doctor and you stay in the hospital. Take injections and medicines and follow all precautions. The same way, to stop infection of false teachings, a minister should give medicine of true teaching, sound teaching. Those who are infected by false teachings must be in the church where the true doctrine is to be taught. How a sick person will run to the doctor? The person who is infected by false teaching, he must run to the biblical church. Brothers, I hope that should be your church. You must be a pastor for the church. You are the junior doctor or assistant to doctor under Christ, the Holy Spirit, healing infections of false teachings. You need to give medicine of sound doctrine. You need to teach right doctrines so that they can be healed. Look at verse 17, part B. It says, among them are Hymenaeus, Philetus. Hymenaeus, Philetus. Here Paul gives prominent men names, and even Timothy and the others knew about them. Here Paul is clarifying that there are many whose messages spread like infection, but among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Is it okay to address the names of false teachers in our sermons? Brothers, is it okay to mention the names of false teachers in our sermons? If somebody is preaching the wrong doctrine, and if they are alive and surrounded by our people to protect our congregation, we or you can address their name so that our people may be protected from their false teachings, so that they may not watch that person, so that they may not watch that person in TVs. Paul addressed false teachers' name. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, it says, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus, Alexander. See, again he mentioned about false teachers. The same person, Hymenaeus, mentioned again in 2 Timothy. But what we are learning is their teaching spreads like infection. So we must avoid. The second danger of their teaching is their teaching is filled with falsehood. Their teaching is filled with falsehood. Look at verse 18, part A. Men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. Here Paul is connecting verse 18 to these two men, describing who are they and also their actions, what they are doing. He's connecting the men, are two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus. The both are astray from the truth. They have gone astray from the near the truth. They are not even close to the truth. That is the idea. They are far away from the truth. Brothers, they teach something which is far from the truth. We can say they teach things that are completely lies. Completely lies. That's what Paul is saying. They are teaching completely untruth. They have gone astray from the truth. Here Paul gives proof, a means of their separation from the truth. How can you say, Paul, they are separated from the truth? How can you say they have gone astray from the truth? Because he is giving answer by saying the resurrection has already taken place. This is evidence of their separation from the truth. This is evidence they are not speaking the truth. They are speaking falsehood. Their teaching is filled with falsehood. This is their character. They denied the believer's bodily resurrection. According to Bible teachers, they say they probably were teaching that believer's spiritual identification with Christ's death and resurrection was the only resurrection. If Christ raised from the dead, we were also raised from the dead. There is no bodily resurrection. It's like they believe, they thought like a spiritual identification with Christ. Because this kind of teaching has come from Greek philosophy, which says matter is evil, spirit is good. If matter is evil, how can we rise again? So we are spiritually connected with Christ's resurrection. The resurrection already happened. The resurrection will not happen again. That's what they are teaching. That's what they are teaching. Already happened. Spiritually, we were resurrected. Resurrected. Is it right? It is completely wrong. Even Paul proved the resurrection of believers. He wrote full chapter on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 13, it says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. Verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Verse 20, he says, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Paul is, you read later, Paul is defending the truth. Paul is saying there is a resurrection. But these people, these two false teachers, they are saying resurrection has already taken place. There is no bodily resurrection. That's why Paul is saying they have gone away from the truth. They were separated from the truth. They are not speaking the truth. Because there is the resurrection of believers. Bodily resurrection. Brothers, one of the lessons that you should learn from this is, if more than one is saying the same things, it means that is not right always. Two people are saying same things, it does not mean they are saying right. Even one person is saying right, that is right if it is found in the Bible. We need to check it. We need to check it. Sometimes two people, three people may say same things, even though they are wrong. They are speaking something which is not in the Bible. Brothers, they are apart from the truth, but you must run to the truth, which can be found in the Bible. Spend time with the scripture to know the key doctrines, to give the answers to these kind of questions. If somebody is teaching or preaching some false teaching, you need to be ready to give the answers. You need to tell the truth from the scriptures. You need to work hard to teach, preach the truth. It is easy to tell whatever you want. No need to study. Just you open your Bible, tell whatever you want. But if you want to preach the truth, you need to spend more time, work hard. You must know all key doctrines of the Bible. Try to have some references. Anybody, if you are going on the train, somebody is asking some questions, you need to answer. To protect your congregation, to protect the church of Christ. And also read doctrinal books. Collect some doctrinal books. Have read one doctrinal book. Read it. Don't wait for professors to teach you. Just if you have free time, just read it. You must be sharp. Because there are false teachers teaching untruth. You need to preach the truth. Third spiritual danger of their teaching is, their teaching upsets the faith. Look at verse 18. Part B, it says, they upset the faith of some. Here Paul added the final addition to his discussion. Not only they have gone astray from the truth by saying resurrection has already taken place, even they upset the faith of some. But here in Greek, it has idea. These two false teachers are regularly upsetting the faith of some. Regularly, they are not part-time job holders. Just regularly, habitually, they are upsetting the faith of some. They are going house to house. Whenever they meet anybody else, just they tell us about these kind of things. The resurrection has already taken place. They are upsetting the faith of some. The meaning of the word upset in Greek is to risk someone's inner well-being. It says destroy, ruin. They are upsetting the faith of some. Look at Titus chapter 1 verse 11. Titus chapter 1 verse 11. It says, who must be silenced because they are upsetting the whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. There are false teachers. They go to house, churches to churches, telling all lies to upset, to destroy the faith of some. Here we have encouragement from this passage, even though it is discomforting passage to those who are true ministers. They upset regularly some people. Look at what he said. They upset the faith of some, not all. That is encouraging for us, even for me, even for you. They destroy, they are upset those who are nominal Christians, those who are ungenuine believers. Not genuine believers. They cannot upset the faith of genuine believers. They cannot upset the faith of true Christians who knows the word. They upset the faith of weak nominal Christians or unbelievers. Here the idea is, it is causing some people to stop believing in Christ. That is the idea. Whatever they teach, that is causing to stop believing in Christ. Some people, they want to believe in Christ. Whenever they heard these kind of messages, teachings, they are stopped. They are going to stop believing in Christ. They are upsetting the faith of some. Brothers, their messages spread like an infection. They have gone astray from the truth. They upset the faith of nominal Christians because of their unholy, profane chapters. This is a characteristic of false teachers. Man of God should avoid. Man of God should avoid. Brothers, if you are not careful about your teachings, your interpretation, you will cause others to stop believing in God. You may say, I am studying in PTS, I know true doctrine, I know Jan Magarkar, I know Jan Piper, I can preach right doctrine. Most of the time, you may not upset the faith of people by your teaching, but by your actions, by your attitude. You are saying something, but your actions are saying something else. Your actions are louder than what you say. Even though you are preaching the right doctrine, if you are not following it, if you don't have that life, then you will upset, right, again, through your character, through your life. We must be careful. We need to preach sound doctrine. At the same time, we need to apply that sound doctrine. Third reason why a minister must avoid profane chatter is it is nullified before God's solid truth. It is nullified before God's solid truth. Look at verse 19. It says, nevertheless, or but, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. Here Paul says, God's solid foundation stands. This is talking about Jesus and the apostles, and the apostles' teachings stands. Even though all false teachings have been raised against the true doctrine, the doctrine of the Old Testament and New Testament are still stand. To stand means, it means unshakable, stand firm, immutable. The word of God, the sound doctrine, it stands like that. No one, they are not shakable, but they have a seal with two sayings upon it. Two sayings upon it. See, here we have two solid truths that stand firm. The first solid truth that stands firm, which is unshakable, is the Lord knows his own. The Lord knows his own. Look at verse 19, part A. The Lord knows those who are his. Those who are his. We need to understand. Even though false teachers are destroying the faith of some ungenuine believers, but they cannot touch. They cannot touch those who are known by God. Those who are chosen by God. That's what Paul is saying. The Lord knows those who are is the meaning of this word know, knows in Greek is not used for as awareness, knowledge, but it is talking about intimacy, love. Husband knows his wife. That means it is not talking about knowledge, it is talking about intimacy, love. So here Paul reminds us that Lord has intimacy with those who are his. They are never lost, even though false teachers are upsetting the faith of unbelievers, some nominal Christians. See, know, this word knowing, his people used in Numbers chapter 16 verse 5. The same word used in Numbers chapter 16 verse 5. It says, he spoke to Korah and all his company saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, will bring them near to himself. Even the one whom he will choose, he will bring near to himself. The false teachers are identified with Korah and all his company. Here the idea is the Lord knew his own people intimately, who are Christians in Ephesus, who belongs to him. Lord knows, Lord knows. It is comforting us, right? But he does not know false teachers and godly men intimately. He does not love false teachers. He loves his own people. Brothers, no one can upset or destroy the faith of genuine believer, your faith, because God has chosen you, chosen them before the foundation of the world. The second solid truth that stands firm is his own keep away from evil. His own keep away from evil. Look at verse 19, part B. Everyone who names the name of the Lord is abstained from wickedness. Yes, scripture is commanding that everyone who names the name of the Lord must abstain from the wickedness. It is a command. Everyone who calls the name of the Lord must do it urgently. You need to do it urgently. You know, Lord knows. Your salvation is secure, but you should not take this grace granted. You need to keep away from the evil. Keep away from the evil. Everyone who confesses, who calls the name of the Lord, everyone who is true Christians must turn away from the evil act. Evil act. Brothers, we should not play with evil things. Do you know Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, it says, many will say to me on that day, the Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Verse 23 says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If you are genuine Christians, you should not play with sin. You should not play with sin continuously. We must have that afraid. We must have that afraid of God. But genuine believer, definitely he will run away from the sin. He will fight over against the sin. And also, we must teach, exhort the church to keep away from unrighteousness. Not only keeping our life from unrighteousness, ungodliness, at the same time, we must teach, exhort the people, our church, our congregation. Because Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, do not go on presenting the members of your body to a sin as instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and you members as instrument of righteousness to God. Righteousness to God. You need to use this body. You need to use these hands, your legs, your full body to present yourself as righteousness to God. We should not play with ungodliness. That's what he is saying. This command, urgently you need to keep away from, run away from the wickedness, unrighteousness. Even pastors, right? Even ministers. Sometimes we are not thinking about our ungodliness, wickedness, evil. We should fight against that. Because God, He wants to use the holy instrument, not unholy instrument. I'm not saying you must be perfect, but you must fight against ungodliness if you are His child. We have seen, right? We must avoid this all profane chatter. Because it is very important to avoid holy and empty chatter, because this will lead us into ungodliness. It is a characteristic of false teachers. And also, it is nullified before God's solid truth. The worldly and empty chatter is like a king cobra that will bite you if you are not running away from it. If you are playing with King Cobra, you are standing beside King Cobra, it will bite you. You will die. You will run away from the car. If that is coming against you on the road, you don't stand to test the strength of your body. Just you run away from that side so that you can escape from car accident. You should run away from this kind of teachings and speeches, because it leads to further ungodliness. It is a characteristics of false teachers. It is nullified before God's solid truth. God may help us. God may help us to avoid ungodliness, ungodly speech. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this time. Lord, help us to think about you and your kingdom. Lord, give us godliness. As your scripture is commanding us, we should keep away, run away from ungodliness. Lord, give us the strength through your spirit. Lord, help us to work out our salvation as a ministers of you, as a ministers of your church. Lord, I pray each and every one of us, these brothers, including me, help us, Lord, to avoid all things which is against you. Lord, help us to preach, teach the things which are in the Bible, to edify others, to help others. Lord, give that standard. Lord, give wisdom for us, Lord, and time for us, Lord, to study your word, to preach your word accurately. Lord, give us courage to defend false teachings, to protect our congregation. For your glory, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.